Well, a few years ago, we were down on a missions trip down in Paraguay, and we had done several years. We have gone had done trips down there, and we ended up going to a soccer game. And down in Paraguay, really down in South America, it is a religion down there. I mean, they had riot police. It was very scary to be down there, and the fans are very passionate. And the team had for years been trying to teach me how to say Spanish words. Now, I mean, I'm still working on English. So I could never get any words except for muy gordo, which I introduced to the language, which if you know Spanish, I've offended you. It's one I made up. I just put it in there. It's all good is what the translation of that means. So we're at this soccer match, and all of a sudden, the fans start doing this cheer. And they're doing this cheer, and they're doing this cheer. And I'm like, hey, I can do this one. So I start, it's an easy word to say, and I start saying it, and I'm yelling out loud. It's like, finally, I got a word. I don't know what it means, but finally, it's good. Mark Rance Jr. comes up to me, says, Pastor Matt, you can't say that. And then he tells me what it is. And it's a cuss word. I didn't know I was saying a cuss word, but I'm yelling out the top of my lungs, a cuss word. And once I became aware of what it was, even though I had finally gotten one Spanish word right, I had to stop. Why did I have to stop? Why couldn't I just keep saying it? Quite simply, because I'm a Christian. And what those passages we just read, God wants to rule over our tongues as well. And so this morning, after dealing with the glories of the Passion Week and Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we return to our study in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to talk about the application of the gospel in our lives. And I don't want this to sound like I'm Ralphie's mom, you know, in the Christmas story, and going to say that I'm going to put soap in your mouth for all the cussing that people do. But I want the Lord to work in our lives. It's something very interesting that I see as a pastor. The younger generation, especially, a lot of the younger ones, they kind of like, they just think that cursing is okay. It's like that's what the culture does. And I've gotten into some heated discussions with some young people who basically say, what's the big deal? There was a few years ago a gentleman who was a pastor, very famous pastor, and he would use off-color language from the pulpit, and he was the new rage, and everyone thought, oh, well, see, it's okay. It's okay to do that. And we know, I mean, I get everywhere you go, people are using cursing and profanity, and even the FCC has tried to, it used to be like TV, there were seven words you couldn't say, and now it's almost anything goes. And so there's a lot that, in one sense, the world has changed, but in one sense, it hasn't, because it's always been like this. And yet what's happening now is people are doing studies, and they're trying to figure out, well, why do people curse so much? Why do they use profanity all the time? And you know, they've come out with these studies that say, well, swearing releases anger and frustration, and it's an expression of shock. And so what they'll quote is 90% of all black box recorders before a plane crashes, the pilot will be yelling out some curse word of some sort. And then they'll say, you know, well, swearing lets people know how you're feeling. And so, you know, they just, it's kind of like putting in an exclamation point, and there's always some sort of frustration or anger that sometimes those words are used in. Sometimes it's an issue of solidarity. I find this fascinating, and I think you will as well. You could be in a location like this. Some of you, I'll just be honest, some of you swear all the time, but not here. You don't. I mean, I know. You're here. I do hear inappropriate things here. I do, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but I know you go in other locations. I know my wife substitute teaches, and in the classroom, the teachers are all good. You go to the teacher's lounge, and she's appalled by how these teachers talk. And I think kids get in trouble for using these words, but they go into the teacher's lounge and use the same words. And then there's others that have, in these studies, have said it's a way of emphasis. It feels good. It explains. It's an expletive that helps you feel the passion of what's going on. And there's been other studies that say, it used to be that if you swore a lot, that you were uneducated. And so the people would say, well, they, no offense to the sailors, but they, you know, you swear like a sailor. You know, that was always a phrase. But now new studies are coming out that's saying if you use profanity, that really it's a sign of education. And I'm like going, really? But what it really comes down to is what Jesus said. It reveals the heart. Because Jesus said, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're in this rich, rich section of practical application of living out the gospel. And we have been slowing down and taking one or two verses a week because it is so, so very, very practical. And this morning, we come to a passage that deals with our words. And my fear, because can I just say, I'm like all of you. I mean, there's times where stuff comes out of my mouth that I repent of, I'm ashamed of. Where did that come from? I have been with older people who they're starting to lose their memory. And we're talking dear saints of the church that have, their husbands have not heard a curse word come out of their mouth in 50 years, and all of a sudden, they're blurting stuff out. And so I want us to look at this passage in the context, because we just celebrated the glories of what Christ has done for us last week, Resurrection Sunday. But we need to allow the Lord to work in our lives that we would be renewed in our words and be careful in our words. So let me invite you to stand. I'm going to back up and read this in context, because I want you to see this in context. Matter of fact, you need to see this in context. Or else it's going to be just a message on having bad language. That's not what this is about. It's about what the Lord does when we come to know Him. I'm going to start reading in verse 17 and then go all the way down to verse 29. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. They have become calloused and have given themselves up to sensuality, to greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. Verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have learned about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupted through its deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, or give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And now today's verse. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Father, I do pray that you would give us ears to hear, that we would hear what your word says about our communication, that we would put off the old self and the old manner of life and be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and that we would put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, and that it would impact the way we speak and the way we communicate in a world that is lost and dark and dying. So, Lord, guard and guide my words, that we would learn from you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, I got basically two simple points and an application. So we're going to jump into this. First of all, new life in Christ begins the process of removing rotten communication. The scripture says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Let no corrupting talk. That word corrupting is a Greek word that literally means it's rotten, it's putrid, it is filthy language, it is inappropriate, it is spoiled. It is the idea. You ever smell a dead animal? You ever, like, there's been like an animal die somewhere? I mean, it's just nasty. It just smells. I mean, there is no doubt the smell of death when there is an animal or something like that. And so that's the word he says when he says, no, let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths. And I'm not going to give a bunch of examples today, okay? Because you know what they are. I don't need to say, well, this is corrupting talk here. These are the things that you don't want your children or your grandchildren saying. And quite honestly, you don't want me saying from the pulpit. These are things that are off-color jokes, profanity, dirty stories, vulgarity, double entendre, just things that are crude, that are crass. These are all corrupting speech that really are, they're not good. And the scripture is very clear. Let no corrupting talk. We're new creatures in Christ. We understand what Christ has done for us, and it is to affect the way we speak. In Colossians chapter 4, it says this, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. So this is not a debated item. I know the young people want to do this, but it's like, really? You can't. And it's not even young people, it's old people who just say, I don't care, I'm going to, you know, when I'm not at church, I'm going to cuss. When I'm at work, you know, when I'm with a group of people that they're all cussing, I can just join right in. But here's what it says in Ephesians 5:4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. So may we understand that as believers, that kind of talk is out of place. And it goes on to say, instead, let there be thanksgiving. Here's where I'm appealing to you, brothers and sisters, that we would be different in the way we communicate, that we truly would be lights. Christians are called to be lights in the world. We are called, we were once in darkness, now we live as children of light. And I think that has to be seen in the words that we speak, and especially in frustrating moments. Trust me, I get it. I understand. And there's a part of you when you say it and you just blurt something out that in the moment it feels good, but it's not. It's in one sense sinfully natural to do. But we are called to live lives that are different. And the Christian community wants to give a pass. And I'm just concerned that we don't do that. Why? Why? Because Pastor Matt said so? No. In Psalm 19:14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Again, last Sunday we celebrated that Christ died for your sins and my sins. He bore the very wrath of God that we deserve. He has saved us by his grace. It's an absolutely free gift. And we are his. We're bought with a price. And this has been my prayer, because I'm like you, I struggle. I'll be honest. You know, you sit there and say, well, I know. It's like, I am a work in progress, but this is my prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And so I'm pleading with us. I'm pleading with you to really think about this outside of these four walls. One more thing on this corrupting talk, and that is the idea of using the Lord's name in vain. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord your God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And that idea of using God's name in vain is using it in a mindless, empty way. It is like a filler that people use. And this I do hear when I walk around the hallways. And so I will hear people say, oh my God. And I will, you know, when people get frustrated, they'll say, oh, Jesus. He is our Lord and our Savior, and we don't use it. We don't use his name. His name is one that is holy, and we want to lift it up, and we want to use it in reverence in the right context. And so, I mean, when people use GD, and I'll hear people just say, you know, something like, oh, my God, and they'll throw stuff out. And I would say, you got to understand, that is using the Lord's name in vain. It's like it's there's no meaning. When we're talking about his name, we're talking about it in reverence, in praise, and we're giving him glory. But to use it as a filler when something shocking happens or just as a connecting word, it's not what the name of the Lord is to be used by. And I'm giving ourselves, here's where we can, some of you, this is your habit. You don't mean to do it. Me even saying this to you, you're like going, I didn't know I was doing that. And I get that. Some of you are newer to the faith, but I'm asking each other, let's help each other in this. So that when you hear your brother and your sister say that, just say, you know, you remember that's using the Lord's name in vain. And we don't want to do that. And I hope you don't, I mean, this is one of those ones, I hope you don't argue with it, because it is pretty clear in the passages that we have looked at. Now, at this point in the sermon, you could go home and someone could ask you, well, what was the sermon about? And you would say, well, it was about cussing, and Pastor Matt was against it. Okay? You're missing the point, because that moves us to the second point. Here's how our speech should be. New life in Christ begins the process of positive, edifying communication. That's where we really should be focusing. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Then it says this, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear. Here is where our speech always, no matter where we go, no matter if you are with some of the most vile people, I understand. I go in different places where every other word is a curse word. And some of you were raised in homes where that was the case. But we have the privilege to bring light in that and to have to only speak in such a way that is good for building up. You know, the world tears down all the time. And we live in that world, and some of that stuff we do, and we bring it home. And so there's speech that tears down. There's words that are not kind. But when we have words that build up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace. It is the idea. I mean, grace is that gift. It is His power to help, to construct, to build up, to encourage. And it even can be uplifting, and it even can be instructive. It doesn't mean that you don't deal with situations, but you speak the truth in love. We've spent time looking at that. It gives hope. It is a gift when you speak to people differently than the world hears every day. In Job chapter 4, I never have come across this verse. I know I've read it, but I've never thought about it. Eliphaz said of Job, "Your words have upheld him who is stumbling, and you have made firm the feeble knees." And Job was a man that God is bragging about Job and says, "Have you considered my man Job? He fears God, he shuns evil, and he's upright in all his actions." I mean, that's a good thing. And here's this man, Job, who his words upheld him who was stumbling. He fulfilled this verse before its time, but only such is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. In Colossians 4:6, it says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person." And I get, can I just say, I get that this is hard for some of us. I really do. I was raised in a home. I'm the youngest of five boys. We were not raised in a Christian home. Foul words, you know, and foul words and words that were cutting. Trust me, when you're the youngest, any youngest out there? Raise your hands if you're the youngest. Can we get a witness here that, I mean, you older siblings are mean, you know, because we're stupid, we're dumb, we get that. And that's what happens. I was reminded of this afresh last week. Easter Sunday, we had my mom. I had my son pick up my mom and bring her over. And she's over at our house. And my mom, in the middle of dinner, I'm sitting there next to her talking to her, kind of, you know, leaning on the table. My mom, who's 93, she pokes me in the gut and says, "You're fat." No joke. And you know, and the junior high boy in me comes out and says, "Well, you're old and wrinkly." No, I didn't say that. Now, was she right? Absolutely. I could lose about 10 pounds. And so could 99% of the world, all right? But she was dead serious. And my mom comes from a generation, she is as blunt as there can be. But I got to tell you, those words, they did not give grace. And I sat there, and because I started to work on this message, and I'm like going, that's funny. But then I started to think, that's how I was raised. You know, you have an opinion that comes into your head. You just tell it. And some people were raised in homes that were blunt, critical, negative. And if it's on your mind, you would just say it. Doesn't matter if it hurts. And I know, because I deal with people every day, those words that we hear, whether you like it or not, they affect you. And you can shrug it off. That doesn't bother me. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And we are called to be different. I am worried as I get older. And I they say older people and little kids don't have a filter. You know how little kids are. We think it's funny when a four-year-old comes up to someone and says something. And yet, how many times have we had children where they have said something that you have been totally embarrassed by at the grocery store? You know, like, I remember my kids, you know, "Daddy, that person's huge." You know, and so speaking of a pregnant lady, I mean, it's like a son, and you know, it's like, stop. Why does your mother teach you those things? No, I'm just kidding. And older people, they get to the place where they don't care. So it's like, I'm just a truth teller. I'm just going to tell it like it is. And as believers, we are called to a higher standard. We are called to be instruments of God. One of the verses that we read earlier, "There is one whose words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." I want us to be wise in our words. It is real easy to be critical. I mean, seriously, we could go up and down every pew and pick out 50 million things that you could be critical about someone about. May that not be us, brothers and sisters. May we be different. May we have words that the Lord begins to do in us that brings about positive, edifying communication. Now, which brings me to the third point. How do we daily speak in a way that builds up and gives grace to those who hear? That's a battle. I mean, I'm trusting that that's where you are at and you want to do that. And we do want to be different than the world. So how does this start? Well, I do believe it starts with a heart that wants to honor Christ. You can say all day, "I'm a Christian." But if you leave here and your goal is not to, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's the one that purchased us. He's the one that has forgiven us everything we've ever done wrong. We owe Him our life, our future. He's the one that owns everything we have. He has numbered our days. He's the Lord of the universe. He has you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He's the one that's saying to you, "Let your words, let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be pleasing." And so we want to do that. I hope it is your desire. I hope it is your heart's desire that you would allow God to do a work in your life. That even though some of us come from that background. I can tell you this much. The very first things that's why I love that verse, Psalm 19:14. That's one of my life verses. The first things that bounce around in my head, it's not good. the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. And so I gotta catch it. I look at it this way. We need filters. We need to catch the junk that's coming out of our mouth or that's deep in our hearts. Especially for some of you that come from backgrounds, maybe like mine, where you weren't taught positive, encouraging words. But we are responsible before the Lord to catch it. So when it starts to go out, you got to filter it, because Lord, I want to glorify you. And when you literally think of a filter that you put over your mouth, it is amazing how much you will catch, to where when it comes out, the Lord has purified it. That's what happens. The words that you say are uplifting, and they're encouraging, and they're grace-filled, and they're word-filled. And we just don't give ourselves a pass on this. And none of us can. I know I'm talking to a bunch of people who, you know, this is what you're going to catch. And again, my encouragement for you is like, oh, I could never get better at that. Yes, you can. Because the Lord will help you, which leads to the second point on this one. We will need to pray for the Holy Spirit's help. God, the moment you accept Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. God dwells in you. And what you say, he hears, even outside these four walls. And so we need to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in his sight. And we need the Lord's help in that. So I really think we get up in the morning, we say, Lord, guard my mouth. You know you're going into a rough day. Guard my words. And really, it comes from our heart. Jesus in Mark chapter 7, when he's dealing with those that were ceremonially defiled and what corrupts a person, he says in Matthew 7:20, and he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. It wasn't what happened externally, it's what comes out. He says, for from within, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wicked, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things comes from within, and they defile the person. So it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So when you have those words, it's what is in there. And that's why in the context that we've just gone through in Ephesians 4:22, it says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupted through its deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so we have to ask for the Lord's help. And then point C, we need to saturate our souls with God's word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. We have to be doing it. And that will, by the way, that will give you a better filter. Guarantee it'll give you a better filter. Because you're not doing this because Pastor Matt said, you know, don't do it. You're doing this because you want to glorify your Lord. You want the words of your mouth and your meditation of your heart to be pleasing to him. And so you will have a biblically informed heart and mouth that as you start to say things, the Lord will help you filter that. And even when you do say something that's not right, you repent. There are times I will smack my hand or something and it's not good. I don't say that proudly. I hate that. And it's like, where does that come from? I can go 2 years. Well, that's a long stretch, but I can go 2 years without saying one curse word, and next thing you know, wow, it's right there. And if you want to judge me and say, oh, that's terrible, well, you know, you got your own issues, is all I got to say on that one. So, but we all struggle with things like, where does that come from? It comes from that, but then we quickly repent. And then the last one, be intentional in building up. This is one, we live in a culture that is so tearing down. And you and I swim in that swamp more than we think. So everything's negative. you know, it's easy to point out someone's flaws. It's always, it's easy to look at the glass as half empty. And instead, but only as such, the words that we say are only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear. And again, that may be a correction, but it's out of a heart that is right with the Lord, that we want to say what honors him. We want to have words that build up. We do want to be like Job in this, whose words have upheld him who is stumbling and who have made firm the feeble knees. May that be for God's glory how we want to talk. One last passage. I have a passion for you younger people that you would understand you can make a difference. Paul's speaking to Timothy and he says, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. You may be the only one in your household that doesn't say words that are inappropriate. You may have dads who for 20 years, 10 years, have done nothing but... You can be different. You can be different. You are the one that can set the believers an example in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your faith, in your purity. Because Christians, we are called to let our light shine, that those who see our good deeds will glorify our Father in heaven. And I think it takes some intentionality to say, what is coming out of my mouth? What are the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart? And so I'm going to have the musicians come up, but we're going to sing a song, Create in Me a Clean Heart. Next week, Pastor Jason, really, we could tie all these passages together, but verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to unpack that next week. But when we use words that are not good, God's grieved. And so we don't want to do that. We want to let the Lord create in us a clean heart. Let's just pray right now. Father, as we sing this song, by your Spirit, may we make this a prayer to you, that we would have you change our talk for your glory.
Let's pray this together. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Joy of my salvation.
we come to the Lord's table, and this is a table of remembrance. If you're here today, doesn't matter what church you're from, what denomination you're from, but if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have something to remember. The scripture gives us a warning to examine ourselves, that we not partake of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. So we're just going to have us just bow our hearts right now and just go to the Lord and just clear the slate with Him. And those that are serving communion, if you could come forward at this time. Lord, your word says, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And we confess, Lord, that there are times when it is our words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart are not pleasing. And Lord, we don't want to sin against the God we love, so forgive us, Lord, afresh. May we, even as we leave here, be intentional in the way that we speak at work and with our friends, that you would receive the glory that you are due. We are called to be lights. We are called to be different. And so we pray for your help and your leading. And as we look to you, and we remember you in the elements of the Lord's table. May you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Those that are serving, if you could come forward, and they'll pass the trays down your aisle, and if you could take the cup and place it in the holder, and then take a piece of bread and pass it along. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, and he gave thanks. Lord, as we partake of this bread, we are reminded of what you have done to purchase our salvation. That even in your body, you were brutalized, you were beaten, you were spat upon, you were whipped, you had a crown of thorns pressed upon your brow, and then you were nailed in humiliation on a cross. And all of that was meant for us, but you took the punishment that we deserve. And we remember what you have done, and we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Afterwards, he took the cup, which represents the Lord's blood. And Lord, who can take away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, you were sinless. We are sinful. Your speech and conduct was perfect. Our speech and conduct was not. And you were just and we were unjust, and you died that we might have forgiveness of sins, and you shed your blood, the spotless blood of the Lamb, to save sinners like us. And we remember and we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us partake. Jesus said, whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we're going to sing one more song. And really, I hope it's our heart's prayer is that we would surrender all. So please stand.
I surrender all.
you just bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here today and you know the Lord has just, through the words of this sermon, just given you a nudge that it's now time to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Lord, if there is action that you want to take on this, then just let's just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Father, you know the words of our mouth, and you know the meditation of our heart. Lord, may we not make excuses. May we want to glorify you with everything. You're our Savior, our Lord. And for those of us that have struggled with this and are struggling now, by your Spirit, Lord, renew us, that we would have words that build up, that minister grace to the hearers, that glorify you. So, Lord, do your work, I pray, for those that have their hands risen and those that need to have their hands risen, for your glory. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.